This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On tonight's Live Feed, we will hear part two of a performance and interview with Bill and Kate Iles, a Minnesota singer-songwriter duo whose songs are poetic reflections of life experiences and often explore adventurous spiritual courses. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Bill and Kate Iles on tonight's Live Feed.
I didn't know when it was ending.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this is a song that I wrote, and it's called Little Blue. It's a Little Blue is a river in the southeastern part of Nebraska. And my mom has a painting called Little Blue. My mom and my cousin Mary were out painting in Nebraska along the river, and our new CD has my mom's painting right under the CD. So if you want to see that, I can show that to you. And when I was just sitting looking at that painting, which my mom gave to me, this little guitar piece came out, and then I kind of thought about my mom's mom and just wrote this song called Little Blue. So. Little blue, little blue, your veins flow through, little blue. Nebraska plains and grandma's hands, little blue. You never climbed a mountain, you never heard the sea, but always watched a winding road that wandered aimlessly among unshaded meadows, a farm, a pasture rife with black-eyed Susan's level fields. These comprised your life. Little blue, little blue, we found you. A small book that you kept close to you, little blue. In worn out pages there were cut out pictures of little birds and children and the 23rd song. Did you ever long to travel, feel the urge to search? You took your journey the 2 miles on Sundays to the church. Little blue, little blue, the love you knew, little blue, at night between the sheets that dried between the apple trees, little blue. Did he hold you tight? Were there tender did he show his love through hard work, sweat and dirt? We come from preachers and farmers, carpenters, poets and artists. Your love flows through us, little blue. Little blue. Little blue. banks can't hold. The swollen spring rains, let them break through. Thank you.
How many of you have been to New Mexico? How many of you have been to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico? Formerly known as Hot Springs. Hot Springs, New Mexico is a little town there right along I-29 that goes down in the middle of I-25? I can't remember which one goes down. This is from Albuquerque, but to Las Cruces. But we've been touring there every year now on a part of our winter tour, and went to the Hot Springs in there. But the reason the town changed their name, there used to be a TV show called Truth or Consequences. It was Ralph Edwards, I think, produced it, and it was like, it's time to play Truth or Consequences. And our today's contestants. You know. And so they announced that if any town in America renamed their town Truth or Consequences, they'd come there and do the show. So it'd be like if Winona did, like, now it's going to be called Wheel of Fortune, Minnesota. Not a bad idea. So that got into this next song. The locals don't call it Truth or Consequences. They call it TRC. A lot of syllables, just, you know. Even in Hillsboro, New Mexico, a little town up in the Gila National Forest, right on the border of the forest, there's a highway sign that says Deming to the right and TRC straight ahead. It's about 40 miles away. That's where you go to get gas if you're up there. It's downhill, fortunately. We found out the hard way. And we just thought we'd be able to get gas up there because, you know, it used to be like the territorial capital was Kingston. And now there's like two buildings left from the original town. So, but this next song, TRC worked its way into the song. In fact, it ended up being the title of the song, Truth or Consequences. Said her world was recreated in seven lonely days of music, dust, and water beneath the Texas sky. And on the final day she wrestled, but she didn't know why. She heard a voice come from the shadows somewhere by a tree. It said, I can show you something that'll open up your mind. I'll drop by in the morning, we can take our time. Well, she felt her body shudder, an ancient fear she'd felt before, and knew the world was full of choices since the dawning of the age. Some for good and some for evil written on the page. You can duck behind the boulder, sneak across the midnight stream, but you're never really hidden if you're running from the dream. Well, she crawled out through her tent flap high up on a hill, just in time to feel the first sun gently kissed the morning air. And she knew she'd never fit in, but she did not care. So she packed her car and drove off to TRC, New Mexico, and spent the summer with her sister up on the range without a phone. And on the wall there was a plaque that made her long for home. You can duck behind the boulder, sneak across the midnight stream, but you're never really hidden if you're running from the dream. It was a sentimental journey back from whence she came, and the closer she got to it, clearer she could see. till her mind was filled with sweet forgotten memories. You can duck behind the boulder, sneak across the midnight stream, but you're never really hidden if you're running from the dream. Thank you. We're rocking out on that one. We're going to do a song, which is I love writing songs based on art. This next song was inspired by the Sistine Chapel, which I've never been to, but in my mind I was. And the idea was, I was at the songwriting camp, actually, in Colorado, and it was one of these breakfast things where everybody's having festive treats and coffee. And they had, I thought I heard somebody say Sistine Chapel. You know, you hear this, what they call a cocktail conversation, where everybody's talking at the same time and you hear little phrases popping out. And I thought I heard Sistine Chapel. And then for about 5 milliseconds, I thought about it. And then I realized they said, oh, hey, pass me an apple. You know, but I heard Sistine Chapel just for a second. And in between that, I thought, hey, I wonder if they built that Sistine Chapel so that Michelangelo could paint the ceiling. Were they like building a canvas for him? Or was it built first and then later on he painted it, which turned out to be the case, fortunately for me, because I needed that time frame, because if it was built first and then he painted later, then I can use it as a metaphor for the fact that acoustic music audience existed, the chapel of the audience existed for these 25 years when I wasn't performing. And then I got the opportunity to come in. I was just starting to look at touring and playing out. I'd gone to Colorado for my first songwriting camp, and it was kind of intimidating because I was 50 years old, and I just turned 50, and it was like, how am I going to get a booking? Because I'd be calling up the venue saying, hi, I'm a 50-year-old singer-songwriter you've never heard of yet. but that never happened. But it just, in my mind, I had all these obstacles. I thought I'd like to write a song in the first person of Michelangelo, the day that he showed up at the Sistine Chapel and was ready to go in and scope out the project. Because that's where I was in my life. I was ready to go in, you know, and just scope it out. So that was the background of this song. And as I wrote the song, I realized that this is one of those life stories, one of those things that really relate to lots of aspects in our lives. So not only was I looking at going into the minds of the audience and painting images on the ceilings with lyrics, but I realized that it's about all relationships. We come into somebody's life and they've existed already, and then we have an opportunity to leave an impression on them. And it might just be a moment at a store where you're getting change from somebody and you have that moment with them. And whatever you do, whatever you say to them, will be your image for them. So I've been more keenly aware of that since I wrote this song. We were at a Hardee's or something on the highway down in Western Texas. There's not a lot of choices because there's nothing that'll grow there, really. So they haul everything in, and so you have to stop and get gas and buy something to eat. So we're at Hardee's, and everybody's all lined up there because it's the only place to eat. And this little girl was working. I can't remember her name. It was like Kristen or something.
Rachel.
Yeah, that's right. It was Rachel. And she was just really working hard and just not looking up and bringing this stuff out and setting it down. They looked like they were very short-staffed. And she was only about 5 feet tall. And she's coming over, and I said, thank you, Rachel. And she went like that, just looked up from her work and had this pleasant look on her face. And I thought it was really great, you know, that I had that moment with her. So I thought, Michelangelo's standing on the sidewalk, and I'm trying to picture what he's hearing and seeing. So I thought maybe he's hearing a chant, like a Gregorian chant or something coming out of the chapel. And so I wrote my own. You can do that, you know. There's no rules.
Parole succata, olio su tela, cesolato e scolpito, finemente cucito.
First time to the Sistine Chapel, I stood and watched the faithful come and go. And even though I knew the mission, still I hesitated at the door. And I wondered,
Am I worthy? Entered in and I crossed the threshold. Never knew I could ever feel so small. And as I passed through your sanctuary, I saw the works of the others on your walls. And I wondered, am I worthy? Am I worthy? Right to paint these pictures on your ceiling above. As I lie here on your platform, I feel the breath as it's moving through your lips. With a palette full of color, I hold the brush in my trembling fingertips. And I wonder, am I worthy? Am I worthy? Am I worthy of your love? Am I right to paint these pictures on your ceiling above? Words on paper, oil on canvas, hammered out or intricately sewn. The artist strives to give us glimpses of the body hidden in the stone. And I wonder, am I worthy? Yes, I wonder.
Thank you. You ever see somebody do this? They finish up a song. Thank you. I thought, what for? They hadn't clapped yet. Watch for that. For those of you that go out to live music a lot, just to go, how can you thank this before we clapped? Now, maybe thank you for not throwing anything at me. I don't know, maybe this, but maybe other reasons to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Just joking, I don't know. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show, and we have this patented way of finishing our shows that's just going to sweep the nation eventually, and we're going to be raking in tens and tens of dollars like we already are. And because the end of a show can be kind of confusing and for people. So what we do is we have two songs left. The next song will be our last song. And then we're going to have a sitting ovation, right? And then we're going to do the encore. It's just a lot easier that way. And if you want to yell encore and make yourself feel better, go ahead. Like more, 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 that kind of thing, especially if it's going to be on radio. You know, it sounds good when you do that kind of stuff. But we're going to do it anyway because we have a song we want to do from our Christmas album. Anyway, so that's how we finish the songs. So I'm going to go ahead and start this next song, which is our last song. Thanks so much for listening, for coming out. By the way, don't anybody feel bad for us because the room is not full. Some people have said something, and you know, like to us, like, too bad more people aren't here. That's true. That's too bad for them. But we're so happy you guys are here. And we're happy that you're here, and we appreciate every one of you, because we sing to individuals, not to a group. You know, it's all about what our songs mean to you as individuals. And we've done concerts for hundreds and hundreds of people. And maybe actually that summer we did one for thousands of people, I guess. They said there were a couple thousand people there in the park all together. And we've done them for two people. But once you get down below two, then you have to start climbing the audience. You know, it's a little disconcerting, you know. Well, I left my home with a heavy heart, from troubles dark and weighty. But the sweetest scent drifted across the sea, from the land of the wilderness lady. As I set my sails, a headwind raged. It stressed my vessel greatly. But in times of calm, I closed my eyes and I dreamed of my wilderness lady.
Will you find me here among the trees, in my forest cool and shady? Will you dance with me 'neath this canopy? I will be your wilderness lady.
Drop my anchor down in a crystal bay, and I thank the stars that led me. Then I swam ashore and I journeyed on to find my wilderness lady.
If you find me here among the trees, in my forest cool and shady, will you laugh with me 'neath this canopy? I will be your wilderness lady.
As nightfall came, I set up camp by a brook where it cascaded into the fragrant valley down below, to fill the cup of my wilderness lady.
When you find me here among the trees, in my forest cool and shady, will you lay with me 'neath this canopy? I will be your wilderness lady.
In the early dawn, I heard her voice in that space between dreams and waking. Will you stay with me 'neath this canopy? I will be your wilderness lady. Will you stay with me 'neath this canopy? I will be your wilderness lady.
You guys are great.
Well, okay, we're back. Thank you so much. Well, starting tomorrow, you'll be able to order our Christmas CD, but no reason to do it now because it's not going to be shipping until December 1st anyway. But it's going to be on our website as of tomorrow. I have to get that done.
What song do y'all want to hear?
It's the Ultimate Christmas Fake Book.
So, it's written, All Through the Night?
All Through the Night. It's right near the beginning.
Okay. And sing along.
This is a Welsh folk song, isn't it? Why don't you look at that and see? Yes, it is a Welsh folk song. Ding, ding.
When we have our Christmas show in Cloquet, we will actually. We might get some type of hymnal-looking books and maybe wear the more traditional clothing. So.
I'll tape it on here. No, we'll have music stands.
So do sing along if you know some of it. And
we're going to be projecting the lyrics up on the screen.
Right.
So people can sing along if they want to. This is a great old traditional song, and it was the first one we picked, maybe because it's alphabetically it's at the beginning of the book. But I love this song. I just think it's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Sleep, my child, and peace attend thee all through the night. Guardian angels, God will send thee all through the night. Soft the drowsy hours are creeping, hill and vale in slumber sleeping. God his loving vigil keeping all through the night. Visions of delight revealing. Christmas time is so appealing all through the night. You, my God, a babe of wonder, all through the night. Dreams you dream. Break from thunder all through the night. Children's dreams cannot be broken. Life is but a lovely token. Christmas should be softly spoken all through.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. Thank you, John, for all your help getting set up and everything.
And now, the second half of our interview with Bill and Kate Iles.
How about musical influences? Who do you draw from for, like, other music or musicians?
Gosh, yeah, I'm. You know, we have so many friends that we have met, and we've just fallen in love with either their singing or their playing or their songwriting or all of it. And so a lot of that, that's pretty much who I'm. We just met a new someone recently, Emily Pinkerton, who plays on our album, our newest one, and she plays the banjo, and she's suddenly my most favorite musician. And when I put her CD in, I am not kidding, I just felt like I was high as a kite. And that's unusual, and I don't know why that happens, but so that's what happens for me.
Yeah, Emily's a remarkable artist from originally from Valparaiso, Indiana, who lives in Pittsburgh now. And we met her at a conference, and she was going to play in a room. We host a room at this conference, and she was going to play our room. And we needed a banjo part for this African song that Kate wrote. And Emily came in our hotel room and recorded the part for us. Yeah. And we loved it so much, we had her record another song remotely and do vocals as well. But her album is, like she said, it's a very, very great album. And she self-produced it, and she played almost all the instruments on it herself. She plays about six different instruments. And she's a very unique, she's not a cookie-cutter 30-year-old singer-songwriter. Everything she does is unique.
Cool. Speaking of the recording, what is your recording process like? Do you guys do it yourself, or do you go somewhere?
When I first had my first album came out in 2001, that's the one where Kate and I met at the CD release show. And I had done that with a local kind of a rock studio in our town, and I knew the guy, so I just did it there. And it was very affordable. And that was good. I got to, as I was the producer, so I got to do what I wanted to do with it, but technically it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. But as far as my imagination goes, I was doing what I wanted to do. Then this other guy pitched himself to me, and I worked with his studio twice. And halfway through the second one, I realized I did not enjoy this at all. And I wasn't getting what I wanted. And
it wasn't a match.
It wasn't a match at all. Yeah, that's what it wasn't. It wasn't a match. So the next album, I thought, I'm going to buy my own gear. I got a 20-year computer background. I understand software, and a lot of it's done with software now. So I got that, and I got Pro Tools. And I recorded my first album, The Shores of My Hometown, that I produced myself and re-engineered myself. And I was scared to death because I was recording the two-time national champion fiddler in a basement of an art studio in Michigan. And I thought, I might just be wasting her time all day. I'm paying her, of course, but I might have been just wasting her time because I may not know exactly what I'm doing at all. And I was recording at our cabin, you know, in the sauna, recording the guitar and vocals and stuff. And here it ended with the first one that I got national press on. And the production was one of the things they were complimenting on, that most artists can't produce themselves. You can't separate yourself from the art, from the album, and say this is what it should sound like to the audience. And fortunately, I have the ability to do that. And so now this is the fourth album. Actually, now five albums I've produced, because I just did the Christmas album as well.
Cool. Well, it sounds like you really know your craft, though, you know, with the writing. I mean, you think about it a lot, it sounds like. Do you think that translated into the engineering of that album, or...?
Yes, because we have a slogan we've come up with, and it's all about the audience. You know, how I feel about it isn't really that important if I feel the audience is really getting something important from it. Or I might think I want to say something, but who cares, you know? But I really try to write things and produce things that people are going to enjoy listening to. And secondly, I want our albums to sound like the same musicians showed up and stood in the room together and played together the music, and all the instruments on the album are all acoustic. There's no MIDI stuff, there's no synthesized things. It's all done naturally. And when we've played with these same musicians, it does sound like just like the album. Yeah. And so we get to do that once in a while, and it's really, really fun.
Cool. Yeah, I was wondering that. I mean, when I heard it, that it does. It sounds like it's a group in a room, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. There are people out there with a lot more expensive studios than we have, and ours is very portable, But I found that certain things I do make the songs sound very natural. And the voices, we want the voices, as in our live shows, we want the vocals to be very clear and very concise so the lyrics are clear. We wouldn't really have to print the lyrics in our albums because you can pretty much tell everything we've singing right by listening to it. But we print them anyway because people want them.
Great. What else, besides other music, what else inspires you?
Well, I didn't cover my early influences. The Beatles were a big influence on me. And that's probably one of the reasons I feel comfortable switching styles and things, because they did that on their albums. They go from one thing to the next, and honky-tonk to a blues song. And it's because that's what worked with the song and the experience for the audience. And I was highly influenced later by John Prine as a songwriter, and the fact that he could write simple chord progressions and brilliant lyrics, brilliant stories, and a lot of irony. And I just was very impressed by that, because as a person who doesn't have great guitar skills, I wanted to be able to replicate that. And I saw him on his first tour when he was like, you know, 20 years old, and I was like 19. So that was very interesting and a big influence on me.
Cool.
Another thing that is inspiring for me, I'm thinking nature, but I'm really also thinking about our town of Duluth. And it's almost like I don't want to say it because I don't want people to know how great it is. No, but it's just so beautiful. And if I get out into it, in just walking down the street, even, you know, just our neighborhood or the Lake Superior, that's inspiring to me, you know, because once you get out in it, then your mind starts wandering. And so...
Is it just the city itself and the location or the people or just everything?
It's mostly the ridge and the lake and the rocks and just it's so beautiful.
And I think traveling enhances that. The more we travel over the U.S. and we've been to Ireland, and the more you do that, the more you come back to where you live and you go, this is Winona's like that. I mean, you go all around the world, you come back to Winona, you're like, wow, it's gorgeous here with the bluffs and the river and everything. But Duluth is like that. You know, you go to places that I always thought that, and they don't do this, they don't PR it like they should. They should have a brochure that says, the beach at Negril, the beach in Duluth. The waterfalls at Ocho Rios, the waterfalls in Duluth. Yeah. The mountains climbing, you know, rock climbing in Colorado, the rock climbing in Duluth, the ships in San Francisco Bay, the ships in Duluth. You know, they could have these next to each other, and you only have to go to one place to get all that stuff in the summer.
Right, in the summer.
The skiing in Colorado, the skiing in Duluth is really good. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a favorite mode of working between, like, live shows or studio? Do you have one that you prefer over the other? Or
live. Yeah, we love live shows.
Yeah. I'm not a big, I'm not very good. Poor Bill. I'm not a good student in the studio. And live is just, live's live. Right. You know, I love it.
You get the energy from the audience when you're playing live, and that really matters a lot to us. And I'm comfortable in the studio. I've been doing it a lot. And I'm recording a lot of other people in the studio. When Kate comes in, it's at the fact, and we're kind of, now it's time for her to do her part. So I've been in there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and now it's time for her to come sing. So that's understandable. But the live shows, is that's what we love to do. And I would think we're going to have a live CD coming out sometime.
Okay, cool.
With a little bit of the banter and...
Right, right. I was thinking that would be nice, you know, because I was thinking when I was sitting here, like, what am I going to ask these guys? They're saying everything. They're talking about, you know.
Well, then if you had a CD with the banter on there, you can be free to turn it off at any time you want.
Yeah.
That's the other
thing. You a special one.
That's the other thing I loved about the show is there was a lot of humor throughout the entire night, which I thought that was really cool.
We have fun.
Are there any live moments that are like memorable or embarrassing or your favorite memory or something of playing live?
A lot of it for me is I seriously, honestly get, you know, what I call the goosebumps, because I do. I get the goosebumps. There's certain songs that really, really touch me, and one of them, of course, is Hobos in the Roundhouse, and then November Bloom. I mean, there are just certain songs that really, I'm really there, and so that's the best part for me. And of course, there's other songs I like as well, and I sing, but some of them just really, really hit home, so...
We had a moment recently in Chicago. We were playing at the what's called the Folk Alliance Region Midwest Conference. They nickname it FARM. And we had what's called the juried or formal showcase, where everybody's in the room for our performance. When it's only 20 minutes long, including getting on and getting off. So we have that much time to do our stuff. So we have four songs, and we picked one that I sang, one that Kate sang, and then two duets. And we did Hobos in the Roundhouse, and a woman came up to me that was doing sound, and everybody in the audience sang along, because 50 acts are covering that song now, and it's been recorded by a few people. And this woman came up to me, and she said, I've heard you guys sing that song 30, 40 times. This time, the hair stood up on my neck, she said. And that was a big moment for me, because for us, I felt that. I felt that on the stage while we were singing it. It was really the energy had passed into the audience, and we had this thing with the audience, and that was it was a magic moment. Normally, as a magician... usually as a magician songwriter, I can make the audience disappear.
That's fantastic to have a moment like that, though.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that was really something else. Yeah, it was great. And we got a lot of bookings from it.
Cool.
We're going to one of them tomorrow.
Okay. And where are you guys going to be at tomorrow?
In Lake Bluff, Illinois, for the Lake County Folk Club.
Excellent. And then you're promoting your CD right now, Still Beneath the Stars and Moon, right? How long has that been out?
It's been out for 2 days.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's brand new.
Thursday morning, and I picked them up at UPS at the depot, and so that way I could have all day to get them ready. But we were also finishing our Christmas album at the same moment. So I was going back and forth from the living room where we had 200 pre-orders for it. So we were signing them and numbering them and everything, and then going back and then running another mix and listening to that while I was unwrapping more CDs. And it was a big process, and we just dropped the final batch in the mail today.
Okay, great. And then when does the Christmas album come out?
December 1st.
Excellent. And where can our listeners find that? Do they get it online? Or?
Yep, our website, which is, unlike our names, which is Kate and Bill Iles, our website is BillandKateIles, I-S-L-E-S, .com. Or they can just go to halfamind.com. It's the same site.
Okay, great.
It'll be available. By the time they hear this, it'll be available. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. What kind of songs can we expect on the Christmas album? Are they all classics or some originals? Or
There's 11 songs altogether, and the first 10 are classics. Songs like All Through the Night, Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Oh, we don't have that one on there? Oh, Angels We Have Heard on High, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, it was another angel song. Yeah. And the one that goes, Gloria. And then we have "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," which is like an old, like an old chant. And "Lo, how our roses are blooming." Oh, "Good King Wenceslas."
"What child is this?"
"What child is this?" Yeah. And what's the first song? "The Holly and the Ivy," which is the title cut of the album.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we have one at the very end of the album. I have an instrumental that I wrote that I play in the mandolin, and it's called "A Christmas Hike on Oberg Mountain." Oh. And I wrote it when I was hiking on Oberg Mountain, which is on the north shore of Lake Superior. And as the path goes up to the top, and locally they call it Oberg Peak. So the hiking path goes up, and then it goes all around the peak, so there's vistas all directions as you're hiking around it. And it's also rolling hills. So the song kind of goes up and climbs up, and then it has these little skip beats, like your feet are trying to get to footing as you're going along. It was really fun. I actually wrote it on the mountain. I took the mandolin up there, and there's an old picnic table overlooking Lake Superior, and I sat on the picnic table and wrote the song on there. Got it going.
That's cool. What is on the horizon for you guys? What's in the near future, and what can we expect to see?
Well, we have our annual tour, which starts, our national tour, which starts on New Year's, and it goes till the middle of May. And we go from here to Ohio, down through Nashville and Alabama, and then Florida for a month, and then over to Texas, back to Louisiana, then we fly home for a week for February shows. And then we go from there to, we go back down to a conference in Memphis for 4 days. And then from there we go to Arkansas and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California up to Portland, Oregon. And then back through the central part, back down to Amarillo, Texas again, then over to Illinois and back home again in the middle of May.
Cool.
Yeah, that's our whole tour. It'll be about 17,000 miles, I think, 16,000 miles. But we used to do it in separate trips, and this saves us a lot of miles. It saves us about 5,000 miles to do it all in one trip.
Oh,
yeah, because we used to drive home, like go to Florida and come back, go to Texas and come back. You know.
And then we hope to add some more instruments if possible, you know. I mean, playing live shows, we hope to play guitar together a little bit.
Yep.
And Bill wants to get a banjo. And
I'm getting an open back banjo.
And I might grab a stick and a block and maybe make some percussive sounds. Because, you know, that would be nice.
And Kate's played the flute on the last two albums, on the Christmas album and on the Stars, Still Beneath the Stars and Moon.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll be adding that into the show as well.
Cool. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you guys, and it was great seeing the show. Again, it was fantastic to meet an artist and group that takes the songwriting and the album making is such an art, you know. It's cool. It's refreshing, I think, in this time. So,
thanks. It's been a great to be
thank
here.
Thank you.
We want to thank the Winona Arts Center for hosting us tonight. It's a wonderful place.
Definitely. Good venue.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
It was really nice of you.
Thanks to Bill and Kate Isles for joining us on the live feed.
Thanks for listening to the live feed. The live feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.